Jesus can calm so many things in our life. He is indeed the wonderful counselor. Jesus is the one who counsels us. He can sustain the weary one with a word. Are you tired? Are you weary? He can sustain you with a word. All he has to do is just speak a word, one word, one word. Boom. You can be strengthened. You get into the Word of God. Let Jesus begin to speak with you. It will change your life. Daily in the Word of God. If you are not daily in the Word of God, you will never walk in power as a Christian. You won't. Still in Isaiah chapter 9, and we have not exhausted this portion, this messianic portion. And so let me start reading again from verse Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read from verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there'll be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So we see this messianic portion, this clear messianic portion here. And we talked a little bit about this over the last few weeks. We're in chapter 9, verse 1. He calls out Zebulun and Naphtali, where Nazareth and Capernaum are, the place where Jesus grew up, his ministry headquarters. And then it named three other locations, one on the east coast, one on the west coast of the Sea of Galilee, one on the east coast of the Sea of Galilee, on the other side of the Jordan, Perea, and one on the northern side of that, in the northern part of Israel, which is Galilee of the Gentiles. And now we're going to look at this a little bit more. This portion, it says that a child would be born to us in verse 6, and a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. We need to understand that the government is on the shoulders of Jesus. Now, the manifestation of this on earth is not always seen, although ultimately it is, but it's not always seen, and it's not going to be, we're not going to see the manifestation of this until the messianic reign. There's going to be, after the tribulation, after the 7 years of tribulation, there will be a 1,000-year period where Jesus will reign from Jerusalem, and it is during that reign that we will see this, and then it will continue on after that 1,000 years. And there, and in that time, during the messianic reign, it's going to be a lot more apparent. And but this is something to remember because there are certain things that are happening in the world that constantly happen. The peace that you have known, the peace that we have known in this world. I was born after World War II. I was born after the Korean War. Now, certainly the United States has been in conflicts. It's been in Vietnam, and it's been 20 years in this Afghan conflict. But we have had peace in our land for a long time. This is a very unusual sort of thing throughout human history, where people can grow up without having war ravaging their country. And so, though the U.S. has been involved in wars in other places, this is a very narrow window in human history. But there are other things, and there are things that are changing. And what we want to remember, and as I told you a few weeks ago, is that, as I told you last week, I had spent 2 weeks ago, I was in Italy for a week with a lot of people from the high-tech industry, and a lot of the things that we discussed were things concerning AI, artificial intelligence, and the changes that are coming. If you've not been using things like ChatGPT, which is up to version 4 now, freely available, version 4, if you've not been using that, you probably don't notice some of these things, but it's really coming. And there are going to be changes. But what it's going to allow us to do is realize all the more who we are as human beings. what our humanity is, and the different things that God has for us. One of the things that we need to remember is from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." And so it says that Jesus took on flesh because his children have flesh. And I've often likened it to this. Many of you know that if a child has cancer and they're treated and they lose their hair, the mother or the father or both will shave their heads in solidarity with that child. Jesus, in solidarity with us, took on flesh. Because his children bear flesh, he took on flesh. And he didn't take on an AI computer. He took on flesh. Because people will begin to say, what is our value when AI can do much of what we do? These large language models, the ability to communicate. The Turing test has been passed. So in the 1950s, there was a proposal that would you be able to speak to a computer and have that computer speak back to you, and you don't realize that it's a computer? If you could do that, that would pass the Turing test. Well, now, in the last year or so, in the last year and a half, the Turing test has been passed. You can speak to computers and you don't even realize you're speaking to a computer. And I used to practice this all the time with Alexa. I used to sit in my home and just talk to Alexa and try to have a conversation. And it was obvious that Alexa couldn't carry on a conversation very well, because Alexa would keep saying, could we change the conversation? Because it didn't know how to go on from there. But by doing this, you were encouraged to do this because it made Alexa better. They were learning from this. And so I would practice it with Alexa. But now it is really remarkable. But what it's going to do is it's going to change the way we work. It's going to change jobs. And you will see jobs. They will be changing. And then you say, well, you know, I do something that's physical. I don't do something that's just, you know, on a computer. Oh, the physical things are coming too. The robots that are coming, the dexterity of the robots that I have seen to be able to pick up a piece of paper by slipping fingernail-like features underneath a piece of paper from a table. Very hard things to do, to train a robot to do. They are getting to that sort of dexterity. So if you work in a lab, they'll be able to work in a lab, and they'll work 24/7, and they won't take off, you know, holidays or anything. It's going to change things. But it's going to give us a chance to reflect upon who we are as human beings and how God of all the earth came and died on a cross for us. He didn't die for an AI system, because already you see scientists talking about that this could be the normal path of evolution, meaning that the superior is now coming. The beyond humans is coming, and this is just the natural path of evolution. So this is the types of conversations you see them having. But this child has been given, and a son has been born. The government was going to rest upon his shoulders. We will have purpose. This is not going to end. Things are just going to change. But we have to remember who we are as human beings and how God gave himself for us. And now I want you to read this. This is really important. It says in verse 6, "And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." There is rabbinical writings that we talked about last time, how they modified this verse. They modified the interpretation of this verse, and they translated it in a way that tries to deaden it, that this is God come in the flesh. This whole concept of God come in the flesh. And they speak of this, and many rabbinical interpretations say this speaks of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, this king, this son of Ahaz, which is to be born and going to be growing up, and he may even be born right about this time. Then you say, well, if it's Hezekiah, how about all the other, if this messianic child is Hezekiah, what about all the other prophecies that Hezekiah didn't fulfill? And the rabbis have a convenient answer to that too. They said, well, Hezekiah, this was meant to be for Hezekiah, but Hezekiah lost the opportunity to fulfill the messianic calling, because he did not sing praises to God when he was given a 15-year life extension. That's what it says. Many rabbinical interpretations will say that. And you see how hard the rabbis work to get around the fact that this is speaking of God becoming flesh, God taking on human flesh. And many Jews, when you talk with them, they say that this is such a foreign concept. It's not a foreign concept in the scriptures. It wasn't easily recognizable. But now that Jesus has come, all this, these medieval rabbis that came with those interpretations, they saw exactly what we see. They knew Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They knew Jesus grew up in Nazareth. They knew Jesus had his ministry headquarters in Capernaum. That's Zebulun and Naphtali, which starts out in this chapter. And how there, this is describing the very coming of Jesus. This is so clear when we look in hindsight and look back. And it says that his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. So one of his names, this is not Wonderful, comma, Counselor. It is clear from the text. These expert grammarians will clearly say this is Wonderful Counselor. This is one unit, Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is a Wonderful Counselor. It says in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Lord God, this is speaking of the Messiah. There are many things that are revealed in the Old Testament about Jesus, the Messiah, that are not clearly disclosed in the New Testament. And it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. This is the Messiah speaking, Jesus speaking. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. How did Jesus get so much of his understanding when he came in the flesh? Because first of all, he was God, and second of all, he was before his Father morning by morning as an example for us. If you are not daily in the Word of God, you are missing out tremendously. You will never flow in real power in Christian faith if you are not daily in the Word of God. If you say, well, I'm there 2 days a week, I'm there 3 days a week, not enough. The Bible says there is a blessing. Over and over again, it speaks of the blessing. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Psalm 1, Psalm 119, verse 97 through 100. Over and over again, the blessing that comes by being daily in the Word of God. 3 days a week is not daily in the Word of God. If you are in the Word of God, I challenge you this day to wake up every morning from this day onward, and you spend time in the Word of God. This is what Jesus did, and he says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. Jesus can sustain you. Jesus can encourage you. Jesus is the one that can sustain you in these things. He is the one that can carry you on in this. You know, you see that there was this demoniac in the other side of the Jordan, and where there were these mixed races of peoples. And these Gentiles lived. And there was this demoniac. They couldn't contain him. They had to chain him, and he would break these chains. Once Jesus got into his life, it says he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Jesus can calm so many things in our life. He is indeed the Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is the one who counsels us. He can sustain the weary one with a word. Are you tired? Are you weary? He can sustain you with a word. All he has to do is just speak a word, one word, one word. Boom. You can be strengthened. You get into the Word of God. Let Jesus begin to speak with you. It will change your life. Daily in the Word of God. If you are not daily in the Word of God, you will never walk in power as a Christian. You won't. Or you'll be the first person I've ever seen who could do it. You look at people who walk powerfully in the Word of God. They are daily in the scriptures, because what happens is then Jesus becomes your counselor and he encourages you. The next one is here. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. His name will be called Mighty God. This child who is born is going to be called Mighty God. I get people writing to me all the time trying to correct me. They try to correct me. One of the major things they try to correct me on is they say, Jesus is not God. Jesus is not God. You're wrong on that. You can stop writing to me to try to correct me. It's not going to help, you simpleton. You really don't know. For almost 50 years, I've walked with Jesus. You think you're going to write me a short email and convince me differently? It's not going to happen. Boom! I delete it. It's gone. It's gone. You know, I've dealt with Jehovah's Witnesses. I've dealt with all of them over and over again. And they try to convert me on all sorts of things. It's not going to happen. Jesus is God come in the flesh. In John chapter 20, verse 28, Thomas falls before Jesus and he says, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God." So you see, this is exemplified by this. It says in Mark chapter 5, verses... In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, when the Magi came, it says, "After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him." The Magi, the wise men, fell to the ground and worshiped him. They fell to the ground and they worshiped Jesus. Jesus is God come in the flesh. Matthew chapter 14, verse 33, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly the Son of God." They worshipped Jesus. Jesus was worshipped. Matthew 28, verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Jesus was worshipped. He is God come in the flesh. Matthew 28, verse 16 and 17, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. They worshiped him. This is what it says. And you say, well, Jesus might have still been a man. A man never receives worship, ever. And when they did in the Bible, they were immediately corrected. A group of people, a group of Gentiles came and started worshiping Peter. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter raised him up saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." If it were just a man, he never would have been worshiped. Peter corrected Cornelius. In Acts chapter 14, it says, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes and they rushed out into the crowd crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are men of the same nature as you, and we preach the gospel." And so here they were worshiping, these Gentiles started worshiping Barnabas and Paul because of the miracles they had done. And immediately they were corrected by Barnabas and Paul. They said, "Don't worship us. Don't worship us." You say, well, maybe it was an angel. Okay, well, are we supposed to worship angels? Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "Do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours, your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Worship God. Worship God. This angel would not receive worship. You don't worship angels. You don't worship men. You don't worship angels. In Revelation chapter 22, I, John, chapter 22, verse 8 and 9, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God." He says, worship God. Over and over again, Jesus is worshipped. Jesus was worshipped as a child. Jesus was worshipped right before he was taken back up. Jesus is God come in the flesh. Thomas falls before him and says, "My Lord and my God." He is God come in the flesh. And people will come to you over and over again and say, "You don't understand. Let me straighten you out here." No, they are wrong. They are wrong. Over and over again, they are wrong. Jesus is God come in the flesh. It was only the hand of God that could have delivered us. A man coming never could have served as a sacrifice for our sins. The scriptures even say it. It says if Daniel, if Moses, if Elijah, if they had been sinless, they could only die for their own sins. They couldn't have taken our sins upon themselves. It was only because they were God come Jesus was God come in the flesh that he could take our sins from us. This is why it is so clear. You have to go through so great contortions to change this. it says that there is going to be a child will be born to us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. His name is going to be called Mighty God. There is no mistake here. His name is called Mighty God. This child that's born is the Mighty God. So when people come and try to convince you differently, they are wrong. They're wrong. Send them to this message. This will be up on YouTube. They're wrong. And you guys that like to write to me and try to get me to change, don't bother. Just don't waste the electrons. I mean, just stop it. You know, and it's not going to work, because I am absolutely, utterly convinced Jesus is God come in the flesh. He's the only one that could have saved me of my sins. And so Jesus is God come in the flesh. His name is Mighty God. His name will be called Mighty God. And then the next one is Eternal Father. That it says that he's going to be called Eternal Father. There's an instance in John for Eternal Father. John chapter 14, verse 7 through 9. John chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. It says, if you had known me, you would have known the Father also, Jesus said. If you had known me, you would know the Father also. From now on, you know him and you've seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? This is exactly what it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. His name will be called Eternal Father. Not just Father, but Eternal Father, the God of all eternity. Philip says, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. And Jesus is like, have I been with you so long, Philip, and you don't recognize me? When you see me, you're looking at the Father. He is the physical manifestation of the Father here on earth. This is Jesus, the physical manifestation of the Father here on earth. This is what it is. If you look in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of that same chapter, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. It means we see him. We beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, he goes so far as to say, so he wrote the gospel according to John, he also wrote 1 John. He says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. They touched him. He says, I even held him. You can't tell me that God hasn't come in the flesh. I heard him, I saw him, I even held him. God's come in the flesh. I was speaking with a Jewish guy a couple weeks ago when we were in Italy. We were having lunch together. Very smart guy. He's on TV all the time. He's just considered one of the smartest men alive. Really smart man. And he's a Jewish man. And he's saying, do you know God is just, how can you just have this relationship with God? He's so mighty. I said, that is so true. God is so mighty. He's magnanimous. But God became flesh and dwelt among us. We have fellowship with God through his Son. This concept that you can have fellowship with God in heaven and earth, it is amazing that the creator of the universe, we can have fellowship with him. It is hard for us to relate to God. That's why the Old Testament says, no man can see God and live. But then God, in order to identify with us, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, he took on flesh because his children have flesh. Because his children have flesh, he took on flesh. That's why he took on flesh. God himself takes on flesh and dwells among us. This is the fellowship we have with God. this is inescapable from this prophecy. This is the prophecy. This boy who grew up in Nazareth, in Zebulun, who had his ministry headquarters in Naphtali, Capernaum, who ministered predominantly on the west side, on the east side, and the north side of the Sea of Capernaum. This one, he is this child that was born to us. He is the one. He is mighty God. He is the eternal Father. Jesus, come in the flesh, is God come in the flesh. He is the one who is worshipped. Even as a child, he was worshipped. Even as a child, the Magi, the wise men, worshipped him. The Magi worshipped him. Even as a child, he was worshipped. He was worshipped. He healed a man of blindness. And then he got thrown out of the synagogue, and this man is sitting in the temple. And this man who had been born blind, and Jesus now comes to him, and Jesus said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He says, "Who is he so that I might believe in him?" He says, "You are talking to him right now." And it says, and this man who had been blind worshiped him. He worshiped him. His eyes were opened, and he worshiped Jesus. Jesus. We worship him because he's God come in the flesh. Had he been a man, we would not be worshiping him. The scriptures wouldn't talk about worshiping him. Had he been an angel, we would not be worshiping him. It is because he's God come in the flesh. Let no one deceive you on that point. He and the Father are one. And then he is called the Prince of Peace. He's also called the Prince of Peace. This is a name for him. This whole thing of the Prince of Peace, Jesus is just filled with peace. John 14, verse 27 says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." This verse, this text, this one verse, John 14, 27, has so many times lifted me up in my life. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." This is Jesus' promise, "My peace I give to you." You may think, you know, that I'm calm. I'm not. I am strung as tight as a banjo string. And God, throughout my life, has given me peace by this verse. "My peace I give to you." You can rest. "My peace I give to you." Sometimes I just have so much in front of me. I'm like, how am I ever going to get all this done? I mean, you just... come before the Lord. "My peace I give to you," Jesus said. It's not peace. He says, "Not as the world gives do I give to you." It's not a peace that you're going to get from some psychiatrist. It's not a peace that you're going to get from some counselor. It's not a peace that you're going to get from any human being. It's a special peace. I have a special peace for you. John 14, 27. Take that verse and make it your meditation and let Jesus' peace come upon you. He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be troubled. I'll take care of it. This one's on me. I'll take care of it. You be at peace. This is why his name will be called Prince of Peace. This is who we have in Jesus. This is the promise that we have. It is such a glorious promise. And then he goes on and he says, verse 7, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace." Yes, it has been established. This will be manifest. We will see it clearly in the messianic reign. But he's still on the throne. Just like he said, Israel would come back. If we lived prior to 1947, if we lived prior to that, we would never have imagined that Israel is coming back. Just like it was prophesied in Scripture, will a nation be born in a day. In one day, a vote, by one vote in the United Nations, reestablished the nation of Israel in that same place after being gone for 2,000 years. It was quite a judgment that came upon them, quite a judgment. They said, "Let it be upon us and upon our children," when they said, "Crucify him." It was a 2,000-year judgment. But it was promised that it would come back. Now we see it. Now we see it with our own eyes. This establishment is coming, and we will see it. We will really see this in the Messianic kingdom. But he's still there on the throne of David over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. He says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. When it says will, it will happen. It will happen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This has to happen. When it says it will happen, speaking of this future event, it has to happen. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts, God is going to make it happen. It's not going to be dependent on the zeal of people. It's going to be dependent upon the zeal of the Lord of hosts, and his zeal will make it happen. These are wonderful promises that he gives us. If you don't know the Lord, you could know the Lord today. Really, today you could know the Lord. If you would come up to me afterward, speak to me. I will share with you today, and today you will be saved. You say, you don't know that. Oh, I know that. I know that. I have full confidence that today you will be saved. If you come up to me today and you say to me, I don't know the Lord, talk to me, you will get saved today. And your life will change. And you can begin to have this Lord of peace where he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. You will learn to draw upon yourself this peace that Jesus will promise you. It will change your life this day. Don't go another day without knowing the Lord. Don't go another day. It must be miserable waking up in the morning and not knowing the Lord. I received the Lord when I was 18. That was a long time ago. I don't even remember what it would be like to wake up in the morning and not have the Lord with me. Like, you don't know what's going to happen to you today. Like an anvil might fall on your head. I mean, you just don't know. But when you have the Lord, you can just have this amazing peace by having the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. You are so good. Blessed be your name. Thank you that God came in the flesh to this earth for humanity. For each one of these believers here, you came. Thank you, Lord God, for doing that. Father, I pray that you would draw them close to you. And Father, for those that do not know you, that they would reach out and they would come to know you this very day. Save a soul this day, I pray. Save a soul and let Jesus Christ be glorified. Father, we give you glory. Thank you for sending your Son for us. Thank you, Lord, for coming in the flesh. You took on flesh, as the scriptures say. He took on flesh because his children bear flesh. Thank you, God, for taking on flesh, being born among us. Thank you that his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, that you are our counselor. You can sustain us in our weariness with just one word. Thank you, Lord, that you are Mighty God. Lord Jesus, you are Mighty God, come in the flesh. You are the Eternal Father, come in the flesh. You are the Prince of Peace, and we worship you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Blessed be your name for the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to give to help out with these podcasts, you can go to jesusandscience.org. All donations are tax deductible. We have no employees in this organization. All the money just goes for the contract work on the production. Thanks so much.